tell you, you know, I love that song, Overwhelmed. And we should be overwhelmed by the presence of God, but I find out in life that I'm overwhelmed by so much more than just the presence of God. You know? I'm just overwhelmed with life sometimes. And today, I've tried to come up with a title for the message, and I think I got one, but hey, listen, you can title it whatever you want to. It's called Set Free Living in Jesus. All right? And so, let's just jump right in. Are you ready? Well, buckle up. We're about to take off. You know, every single day, we sit with, we talk to, and we interact with dozens of people. And literally, in a crowd this big right here, it's not hard to believe that in 1 week, we as a group of people deal with thousands of people every week. And my question is, do you know the people you interact with? Do you really know who they are? Lori Dean's shaking her head. No, I don't. She works with me. She works with me just right down the hall. I mean, you know. You know what? We pass people walking down the street, driving down the road, our neighbors, our classmates, and our coworkers. And honestly, I would dare to say that we don't know who they really are, or at least not all of them. You know, we don't know what they're thinking, what they're feeling, whether they're happy or sad, tormented or at peace. We don't know. We can try. But boy, we humans are sneaky, sneaky. We can put on a face. Do you know that 1 in 5 Americans suffer with a mental illness? Do you know that? People live with all kinds of things going on in their lives. And these things that go on in our lives hold us captive. And we don't have the freedom that we want and should have to flow and to live and be free in God, because we're so bound up and so captive. Listen, anxiety and panic is something that grips a lot of people. I dealt with that. I have dealt with anxiety. I remember I was just so anxious at one time in my life that I went to my doctor and I says, listen, man, I have prayed. I have read the Bible, and he's a Christian. I said, I have done everything I know to do, but I still feel so anxious with everything going on in my life. I need something to help me. He gave me something. I went home, and I took that something. The next day, I got up, and I did not feel any better. I called him back, and I says, listen, man, you don't get it. I need something to work right now. So he changed it, and I took it, and it worked. And I stayed on that regimen for a while, and then one day, it was gone. I can't explain it, but that helped me through life. Depression, social disorders, substance abuse, addictions, eating disorders, grief, attention deficit. I think we all have it. We were with my grandson yesterday, and he was eating a corn dog, and his mom broke the corn dog in half. He had a fit. He went like crazy. I can't even eat this anymore. He was trying to put it back together on the stick. And his mom says, they would call that attention deficit. I didn't have a choice with attention deficit when I was a kid. My dad took care of that. He had the medicine that I needed. And sometimes that's what it takes. Anger. Anger. Oh my goodness, people who deal with anger. Selfishness, pride, envy. Just resenting what other people have. Greed, lust. And I tell you, people are bound by deception. The devil, he's out. You don't think he's real, he is. Now, some of these issues may need some medical attention. And I say, get it. I'm pro-doctor. But then others of these needs need our attention. You know, we blame it on the devil is coming after us. But a lot of it's just human nature. And you know, when we get saved, we have Christ's nature. And that human nature and that Christ nature is at a war with each other. And you fight. And you really do have to press down that human nature. There's some sins in the Bible. I never talk much about sinning. You know, people know when they do wrong and they know when they sin. The Holy Spirit is so much better at it than I am. But the proverb says that haughty eyes are a sin. You see that? Haughty eyes. Lying tongues. If you want the truth, don't ask me. Listen, I knew a guy. Every sentence out of 10 might have been the truth. All the rest of it was made up. I knew a girl. I mean, you ever heard the truth's not in them? Murderers, even if it's in the heart, people who devise wicked schemes to hurt other people, people who are quick to run to evil, false witnesses who talk bad about people, and people who stir up dissension against brothers. And you say, well, that kind of stuff don't happen, Steve. Yes, it does. It does. They're pot stirrers, and they stir up things. One of the biggest, I think, things that bind people in our culture and in our time is stress, stress, and more stress. According to the American Psychological Association, chronic stress is linked to 6 leading causes of death. Now, the mortality rate for human beings is 100%. We are all going to die. But I don't want to be killed by stress. I don't want that to take me out. They say heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. And more than 75% of all medical visits are stress-related. Isn't that something? I know some people that are stressed to the max. And then I know very few people that live stress-free. But those who live stress-free are the ones that I like to watch and I like to observe. Now, I love to watch my son, Grayson. There's a country song that says, free and easy down the road I go. That boy lives stress-free. He's not going to let life get him down. You know, he's not. He says, you can't live in yesterday, it's gone. And you're not promised tomorrow. So let's live it up today. I love that philosophy. And, you know, and the scripture even says that in Matthew 6:34. It says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries. You have enough to think about today. You know? So, don't self-induce yourself with stress. You know what? Many people can think themselves into a stress attack. Just start thinking about something. And it don't have to be much. It can be something small, and the next thing you know, it's big. You know, it's hot outside. I got to cut the grass in the heat. I feel the weight of it coming on me. A person like me cannot handle that heat. Probably going to have a heat stroke. And you get worked up and worked up and worked up. Next thing you know, you're wiped out, and you're bound to that thought. And it holds us captive. You know, I think there's 2 ways we can live. We can live in captivity with our human nature, our life situations, or we can live in freedom, freedom in Christ. That doesn't mean that we still don't go through things, but it's how we go through those things, how it affects us. Now, none of us are in jail this morning. Thank God. But that's not the kind of captivity I'm talking about. And just because you may be sitting here this morning, that doesn't mean you're totally free. You may be bound up with a little something. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about those things. Now, Jesus had been tempted by Satan for 40 days. He'd been out in the wilderness for 40 days. And in Luke 4:16, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue, and he stood up to read the scriptures. And this is what he said. It came from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news." Everybody say, good news. This book is full of good news. And if you want to have a freer life, read this book and then speak this book and share this book, because it's good news, and there's so much good news in it, you don't have to worry about bad news because it eliminates it. "He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." That tells me that I don't have to live all bound up, because Jesus said he came to set me free. The blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. And I love this. The time of the Lord's favor has come. Do you know you're favored by God? You are. Then he rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to the people, and he sat down. Now his story didn't end there. It did not end there. Those people got upset with what he said. They didn't like what he said. They didn't like it so much that they tried to push him off a cliff to kill him. They didn't like it, because you know what? He just announced who he was and what he was here to do. He knew who he was, you know? And that word, captive, that's a military word. And it refers to a prisoner of war, kept within bounds, confined. You know, Jesus had an opportunity to be offended. He really did. I mean, somebody tried to throw me off a cliff, I think I'd be offended. To say the least, I would definitely think about it for a while. I would probably stew on it a while. And then I would stress on it a while. And then it would fester a while. But you know what he did? He went on down the road to the next city and started preaching. Cast the devil out of somebody. He did. He cast the devil out of somebody. He didn't let that bind him up at all. So the lesson I think we can learn from that, do not wear your feelings on your shoulders. No. My buddy on the front row said, no. You know why? You have a destiny and you have a calling. Jesus stood up. He was confident in who he was. I am anointed. I'm going to heal the sick. I am going to set the captives free. The stuff that you read about in Isaiah, I am here to fulfill it. And you just heard it for the first time. I am doing this. You know what? Have some confidence in yourself. Have some. I'm not talking about being proud and arrogant. I'm talking about you are a child of God. You are a son of God, the living God. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, some of the things that bind us up and hold us captive are self-created. And there is a story in the Bible that I want to share, and we're halfway there. My wife gives me the thumbs up. And it's the story of Jonah. How many of you know the story of Jonah? I love that story. You know, Jonah was a prisoner of his own doing. You know, he really was. He was fearful. He was selfish. He was spiteful. He was proud. When I look at Jonah, I see some of me. And maybe when you look at Jonah, you might see a little bit of you too. In Jonah 1, it says, the Lord gave Jonah a mission. He said, go to Nineveh and preach against it. Its wickedness has come up before me. You know, I read that and I thought of something so wonderful. God is merciful. God is so merciful. And he doesn't want to see anyone perish. He wants everyone to come to know his love. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Jonah knew the Ninevites, and he hated them. He hated them. Last week, we learned about loving people we don't like. Jonah hated these people. And the book of Nahum tells us why the Ninevite people were so hated and why they were so bad. They plotted evil against God. They exploited the helpless. They were cruel in war, meaning they didn't follow the rules of war. And Jonah saw his friends and colleagues suffer at the expense of Nineveh. Nineveh was into idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft. And when God told Jonah what to do, Jonah responds to the call of God this way. He ran away. I don't mean he just ran away. Nineveh was east, and Jonah went west. Total opposite direction. He went down to the docks, he bought a boat ticket, and headed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You know, why didn't he do what God asked him to do? It's simple. He didn't want to. He didn't want to, and therein lies his problem. Jonah's want to did not line up with God's will. His want to just did not line up to God's will. So he thought he could escape. Sometimes my want to doesn't line up with God's will. I don't want to do that, Lord. That's hard. That's difficult. And so I can bind myself up from the will of God just by my thoughts. I can't do that because I don't like this person. I can't do that because I don't want to do that, you know? So Jonah thought he could escape the call of God, which you cannot outrun the call of God. And God's instruction to Jonah became a problem. Jonah made it a problem. He made something good into a problem. The call of God is good, but sometimes it can be hard. And Jonah tried to escape. But can I tell you, escapism is never a way to solve your problems. You can run as far as you want to, but when you get to where you're at, you know what just followed you? Your problem. Standing right there with you in the mist. You know how I know this stuff? I've done it. Yeah. So Jonah got on the boat. God sent in a great wind and a fierce storm came up. And it was so bad that this ship started breaking apart. The sailors started praying to their gods. It says that in the scripture. They were praying to their gods. They were throwing valuable cargo over the side of the ship so the thing wouldn't sink. And then they started casting lots to see who in the world's fault this was. Somebody had to be blamed. And they look around, where's Jonah at? You know where he was at? Sleep. Jonah was getting away from the call of God, and he was asleep in the bottom of the boat. So they drag him up there, and the story comes out, what in the world's going on? And he said, well, it's my fault. Tells him everything. He comes clean. It's my fault that we're about to sink. It's my fault that your boat is about to fall apart. And so you know what they do. He says, just throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. So now he puts these guys in a situation of having to kill him. You know, it gets bad. You throw somebody into a hurricane water, might not make it. One time I wanted to go surfing in a hurricane. Craziest thing in the world. So I jump in the car, hurricane was coming in, ride down to the beach, grab my surfboard, right? I go out there, swim out in the water, and the waves are, they're just huge, and they're pummeling. I got up on that surfboard. That surfboard went down into the water, stuck in the sand, flipped me over, rolled me on the bottom of the ocean, scratched me up, spit me out on the bank. I grabbed my surfboard, walked right back to my car and got it and left. You know, they didn't know what was going to happen to Jonah, except he's going to die if we throw him in that water, and he's going to drown. Anyway, they prayed and said, God, don't hold it against us, and tossed his rod over the side of the boat. And the Lord says he created a great fish for Jonah. Now, you read that, great fish for Jonah, that means Jonah's about to get him some fish and chips. No, he got ate by that fish. It was the total opposite. And I've done a little research just to see if that could have really happened. Because, you know, a lot of people say, this is not true.
It's true.
There are fish in the ocean that can eat us in one swallow. The sperm whale is 50 to 75 foot long, and its throat, its trachea throat, is 22 inches round. Now, I would have to squeeze. I would have to squeeze, but I would get down. I would get down into that fish's belly. And you think about, well, you know, digestion takes place. Why didn't he digest up in 3 days? Well, that whale has four stomachs, and the first one is not for digestion. You know what it is? For pressure. It squeezes. And the way that whale is designed by God, I'm not saying this is the fish that ate him. I'm just saying it could have been. The way that fish is designed by God is its ribs are flexible so that when it goes down into the deep water and that pressure increases, that fish can contract and begin to squeeze its food and pressurize its food. So Jonah was in a spot of great pressure. Not only was it nasty, not only was he, it was the end for Jonah. You know, sometimes in kiddie books, you'll see Jonah sitting in the room in a well with a little candle. There was no candle. There was no room. He was in there. He was in there suffering because of his actions. And what he saw as a bad thing was a good thing. Because God will do whatever, whenever, and however to meet with you to get your attention. And me too. Me too. So old Jonah was in the belly, and he finally came to somewhat of his senses and started to pray. I would have been praying as soon as I'd been praying before I hit the water. Lord, help me float. But he says, I'm in distress, and I called on the Lord, and he answered me. And after he, listen here, seaweed was wrapped around my head. This man was in a mess. He was in a mess. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. You know, you may be in a place of pressure this morning. Be like Jonah. Admit that you're in that place and begin to pray and ask God to bring you out of that pit. Ask God to help you. He wants to help. He says in verse 7 of chapter 2, when my life was ebbing away, that man was dying. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you in your holy temple. And he said, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. That's what he needed to tell the people at Nineveh. I will go tell them that salvation came from the Lord. And that whale had one of the worst cases of food poisoning it ever had in its life. And it took Jonah to the bank and vomited him out. Regurgitated that little rascal right on the bed. I bet you he was like me when he got up, but he took off. I bet you he was done with all that. You know? And then God came back and said, Jonah, will you go down there? Now, you need to read the whole story because Jonah had lots of problems. Even after he went and ministered, he was mad about it because God didn't destroy him. They'd done the right thing, and it still made him mad. He had lots of issues, but God gave Jonah a second chance to go do what he was supposed to do. You know? And so, read the whole story. Take the time and do that. It is a wonderful story. And I have another story that happened to me. You know, sometimes, whenever we're in bondage, we're the only ones that can fix it. We're the only ones that can straighten it out. And this little thing right here, got me into so much trouble. And I would like to share it with you as we close the service. And our prayer team's going to come up in a little bit and pray. Don't leave here burdened. Do not leave here anxious. Don't leave here stressed. Because God really wants to set you free today. This here is a sweep fire rod and reel. And I don't even know how to use it hardly. But my wife does. And she loves to go fishing. She loves it. She likes the thrill of catching that fish. And she can do it all day long. Not me. So we're down at the lake, me and Lori. She's the captain of the boat. I'm the first mate. And I'm not a very good first mate, as you will hear. We get into our little boat, 15 foot long, and we're going looking for a place to fish. And we were going on the other side of the big water, right? The big water. We get out in the middle of the big water, and a wind blows up. True story. The wind blows up. I felt like the sailors. Now, I didn't think my boat was going to break apart, but I knew that water was coming over the side of my boat in there with me. And as a first mate, I yelled out to the captain, "Turn the bilge pump on. We're sinking. This boat's taking on water. Flip the switch. Flip the switch." She flipped the switch and water, man, it was shooting out the back of that boat, but it was coming in the sides. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that lake, we were not near the bank, that motor goes clunk, 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 push. And that was it. It stopped. It stopped. As a man of faith, I stood up and lost all control. I said, "We are going down. The water is cold, and I do not have my life vest." I've read story about people's hearts stopping in cold water. And me, I knew I was going to be a casualty. I'm serious. It was bad. And I was saying, "Keep the bilge pump running." And the waves were pushing us so hard that it pushed us from the center of the lake up to a dock. Now, it wasn't like we were smooth coming into the dock. No. We were heaving and hoeing and going up under that dock, and that was going to cut my head off. And I was screaming, "Lori, do something. Do something, Lori. You're the captain. Do something." And she was holding on to the side of the dock like this, said, "I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do." So here I am trying to hold with one hand. And somehow we came away from the dock, and that water pushed us right onto the shore, the front of the boat. We beached, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to drown in this water." But you know what didn't stop? The waves. Those waves started coming in the back of that boat. And I was going, "Oh." The back of the boat was sinking. The front of the boat was on. It was sinking, and it was getting deeper and deeper into the water. Now, you know, as the first mate, I'm supposed to take care of the stuff that's in the boat. And I looked at the front. It had to be the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the greatest tools you have going for you is the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's working in you. He will help you in everything. Even you think your boat's sinking, you need to talk to the Holy Ghost. Because he'll show you. I looked at the front of my boat and my mooring line, the one that you tie up to the docks to hold your boat, had run over the front of the boat. And I thought, "Oh." And I wouldn't have known this except by the Lord. I'm not that bright on this stuff. That boat line had gone up under our boat and got tangled up in the prop in the back. And it didn't matter how much she would turn that key, it wasn't going to crank, period, because the rope was caught up in it, and it would not allow the motor to crank, right? So I look at that and I say, that's my problem. The reason why that rope is tangled up in the motor is I didn't take it and put it in its proper place and tie it to the pedestal like it was supposed to. That's my fault. That's my problem. I gotta fix it. Oh. So it was cold. This was not last week in 100 degrees. This was several months ago. And I got out of the boat and I started wading in that water. You got to realize the back of the water is this deep. And I was wading down beside that boat. And Lori's looking at her little gauges and all her stuff. And she said, Steve, the water's 55 degrees. I said, nobody knows that better than me. Nobody knows that better than me, Lori. So I worked my way around to the back of that boat in that cold, frigid water. And I began to unwind that rope from around the prop. And then I carried it back to the front of the boat, secured it to where it was supposed to go, and I got back in. She cranked the motor up, put it in reverse, and we got out of there. I said, I'm done with the water. Listen, I could have called on God all I wanted to. I could have. I created that problem. I had to fix it. I had to. I didn't have a choice. Couldn't make Lori get out and do it. Wanted Lori to get out and do it, but she never volunteered. She never got out of the boat. The captain was going down with the boat. I had to fix that problem. It was uncomfortable and it was difficult, but it was so successful. It was successful. And we were safe. You know, there's a lot going on in your life as the prayer team comes right now that you may say, I'm just kind of bound up in this area and I need some prayer of agreement to help me. Listen, all it takes, I'm telling you, today is such a day to receive that freedom that I'm talking about. It's such a day. All you got to do is take a step and ask the Lord to help you. He will. I guarantee it. He will. You may feel uncomfortable and say the water's chilly, but I'm telling you, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Don't let the devil rob you and hold you captive. If you'd stand with me.